Throughout the afternoon, we've been talking to physicians from Northwestern Medicine about COVID-19 and your health. And we are now pleased to be joined by Dr. Clyde Yancey. He is Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, Associate Director of the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern as well. And Dr. Yancey, it's a pleasure to talk to you again, sir.
My pleasure to be with you again, Ro. Thank you.
It's funny, right as we're coming on the air here, Channel 9 just did a story about this, about broken heart syndrome and COVID-19. And I found this to be fascinating, that broken heart syndrome, well, first of all, what is broken heart syndrome, and why would it be related to COVID-19?
So really a great way to start. We have recognized broken heart syndrome for quite some time. It actually is eponymic, meaning it's named for something else, and the something else that is named for is Japanese stew pot. So the actual name is Takotsubo's. It's very hard to pronounce, even more difficult to spell, but it's very much an appropriate description of what happens. And here's the scenario. There have been innumerable cases, to the extent that we accept this as an entity, whereupon an individual, male or female, but typically female, is beset with some abrupt emotional experience, something that is just really a game changer and gets the immediate attention of that person. And it can become manifest in a variety of ways that we're still trying to elucidate scientifically, but manifest as immediate disruption of the heart function. It can look like a heart attack. It can look like shock. It can look like a dramatic episode of heart failure where the muscle becomes profoundly weak. But we've learned that those scenarios all demonstrate the ability to recover. And when we see recovery, we identify that there's only a modest amount of disease that was ever there, but there's something peculiar, perhaps in the blood vessels, perhaps in the immune system, that really does set the stage for this. And so, as you can imagine, the many multiple dimensions of COVID-19 that we've all been navigating, it is conceivable that someone would hear bad news, would have a bad experience, something tragic would happen to a loved one, and all of a sudden, here is another person beset with an urgent, if not emergent, circumstance. But if there is such a thing as good news, there is recovery. But we're learning again that people that are prone to this, they actually go on to still have eventual heart disease later. So sometimes it's a harbinger of things to come.
Oh, so and this happens in younger patients. Like it could be death of somebody, a breakup, some sort of traumatic event, and it mimics essentially a heart attack.
Exactly. That's a very well stated observation, except age notwithstanding. We see it in middle age, older persons. It's very much something that has to be in our consciousness when we're evaluating a person that's acutely ill, because sometimes it's the broken heart syndrome.
Wow. I had never heard of it before, and then all of a sudden, right as we're coming on and we're talking to you, one of the foremost cardiologists on the planet Earth, let alone the United States, let alone Chicago, and now I've got you, and I got to figure this out, because I can't. this is important. All right, let's talk about COVID-19 and heart disease. We talked a couple of months ago about this on the air, that people have profoundly worse outcomes if they have significant heart disease, if they do get COVID-19. There was research that I know that you were looking at, that the entire American cardiological community was looking at, coming out of Italy. Now we've got New York numbers, and we've got all the rest of the research that's been done over the last 6 weeks here in the United States, 8 weeks in the United States. Is that all still holding true? Has anything changed?
It's all still holding true. What we're seeing consistently across the board is this. The greatest risk factor is age. If you are older, you can unfortunately be subject to the most dire consequences of COVID-19. Part of what goes along with being older, of course, is high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, pre-existing heart disease. Part of the explanation is that these concomitant or associated other conditions, quite frankly, enable the progression of the disease. the disease really is an abrupt shock to the totality of the system. And as you're trying to fight this novel coronavirus that now becomes the disease COVID-19, your heart has to work harder. Your lungs have to work harder. So if you have asthma, you're at risk. Your blood pressure has lots of fluctuations. So if you are hypertensive, you've got another set of problems. Your kidneys have to work better. And if you already have pre-existing kidney disease, this becomes another problem. And for certain, if you smoke, for certain, if you're obese, all of these things come into play. And the one thing that we're still seeing, Ro, is that if you happen to be black, if you happen to be Latino, if you happen to be a Native American Indian, the burden is disproportionately higher. That has not gone away.
And is that the burden because of pre-existing condition, because of lifestyle, because of access to resource?
It's a twofold equation. The first is exposure to coronavirus. Many persons in the groups I've just described live in population-dense areas. They live in communities that don't have as many resources available. Testing is not as easily available. And many people in those communities are the essential workers who have to get up every day, go to work, put food on the table, but also provide truly essential services to keep the economy going as much as it can. And so regardless of the risk, they're up, they're out. And when they're up and out, they're exposed, they're vulnerable. And so we see...
And they bring it home.
And they bring it home. Yeah. And so you can add, you can fill in the rest of the blanks there. But then when they get the exposure and have the virus, that's when it's double tragedy. Because now their pre-existing obesity, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, really puts them at risk for greater consequences.
Yeah, you mentioned the heart rate issue in terms of fighting the disease. One of the after effects, we were talking to a patient in the 3 o'clock hour. There was an amazing story about this man who's 54 years old. He got caught the coronavirus. He got COVID-19. His wife got it. His son got it. His mother-in-law got it. And three of them, he, his wife, and son, who's 24 years old, all ended up in the same ICU together because of this. And now all of them have this, even weeks after coming out, surviving it, have this increased heart rate as a result of it, as right now a side effect. That continues on for how long? Do we have any idea?
So, Ro, the evidence is just now emerging. Literally, there were scientific data released just earlier this week, more data coming out likely within the next several days, demonstrating that it's more than just the residual increase in the heart rate. In fact, there's evidence of residual injury to the heart muscle, albeit asymptomatic, and even in those persons that weren't dramatically symptomatic when they had COVID-19. We are trying not to sound the alarm too greatly here, but we are concerned that one of the downstream consequences of COVID-19 might indeed be people who have more vulnerable hearts, vulnerability meaning susceptibility to developing heart failure, susceptibility to having a legitimate heart attack, susceptibility to developing important irregular heart rhythms. These are things that we are going to have to follow very carefully and recognize that this pandemic, this crisis, isn't hardly over. There's likely to be much more for us to face as we go forward.
Even after the virus may be out of the environment, which hopefully within the next couple of years it will be. All right, Dr. Yancey, hold on 1 second. We will come right back to you. Dr. Clive Yancey is with us. He is the Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine and Associate Director at Bloom Cardiovascular at Northwestern as well. We'll take your phone calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. If you've got a question about COVID and heart disease or just heart disease in general, he's one of the preeminent cardiologists on the planet Earth, and he's available to you right now at 312-981-7200. Lauren Lapka's got our last look at the traffic and the weather. Throughout the afternoon, we've been talking to physicians from Northwestern Medicine about COVID-19 and your health. Dr. Clyde Yancey is with us, Chief of Cardiology at Feinberg School of Medicine and Associate Director at Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern as well. And, Doctor, thank you very much for being here. We got a lot of phone calls. We got a lot of texts. And let's just jump right in. Jennifer, great. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi. I have a question regarding the fact I have Marfan syndrome. And I was just wondering, my children and I both all do, how much more at risk are we for developing complications, I should say, So, COVID.
Excellent question, and certainly Marfan syndrome is something that is quite important for listeners who don't understand what that is. I'll be just slightly descriptive and say that it is a rearrangement of the large blood vessels, particularly in the chest, and it unfortunately makes the blood vessels more vulnerable, makes them weak, and occasionally there can be rupture or some problems with the integrity of those blood vessels, and I want to be very respectful because I know you've got that condition. But importantly, the advice that we give across the board is this: if you have pre-existing heart disease, and that in your case would include Marfan syndrome, and in your family's case, irrespective of age, you are amongst those persons where the recommendations are given with the strongest intent, that is to take proper precautions to avoid infection at all costs. Keeping a safe physical distance, wearing the mask, paying attention to hand hygiene, these are incredibly important, and being very careful, being in groups of people, particularly indoors. You don't want to be the test case to see what happens when someone with Marfan syndrome is exposed to the novel coronavirus and develops COVID-19. There are just too many challenges recovering from COVID-19, and I wouldn't want you to experience that. So whether it's you or any other listener that already has a known cardiovascular disease, we really want you to heed this message with the absolute most volition you can.
Okay.
Jennifer,
awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Best to you and your family. Jim, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Doc. Yeah, I'm 62 years old, and I've had AFib for about 30 years. And I know you hear a lot about these blood clotting with the COVID, and I just want to know how much more risk I could be having AFib.
So we'll repeat the same message, Jim, and thank you for calling in and for the courage to raise this question. Atrial fibrillation is something that concerns us because we know that it puts you at greater risk for a lot of other things. You've obviously lived well with it, and we want you to continue to do that. But understand that the stress of having COVID-19 will worsen. The word we use in medicine is exacerbate, but will clearly worsen your atrial fibrillation. And that becomes very confounded because then we're talking about all the other risks that are associated with worsening atrial fibrillation, particularly developing heart failure, developing a stroke, all of these things are incredibly important. Now, Jimmy brought up a really great point, and wrote to speak directly to this, allow me just one second to say we are concerned about the risk of blood clotting in COVID-19, and this falls in the camp of the cardiologists, the lung doctors, and the blood doctors, because we're trying to understand what is it about COVID-19 that makes the blood clot more easily, and sometimes those clots are more severe, leading to clots in the lung, leading to major strokes, even in young people. And we don't yet know if just protecting the COVID-19 patient with blood thinners is sufficient to prevent this from happening. And so, to Jim's point, two issues then: atrial fibrillation, pre-existing heart disease, practice the best prevention you can. Second, the anticoagulation, that is the blood thinning question, is very important. We haven't yet resolved it, but we do know that there is a real risk of blood clotting in the setting of COVID-19.
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit earlier with a stroke doctor as well. It's bad along all those lines. Patrick, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, hi. I haven't really noticed very much emphasis on mainstream media or anything about just keeping the immune system strong and how to do that. And one question I had is, what I heard was that people with darker skin, it's harder for them to absorb vitamin D. And vitamin D is very good at, helping your immune system. And I guess it has some functions with the lungs itself as far as keeping, inflammation down.
So, Patrick, you raise a question that comes up over and over and over again. What is the contribution of vitamin D to the integrity of your immune system or to your overall health? We certainly know that there's some extremes in vitamin D, but we don't have sufficient evidence to be convinced, to be compelled to say that it's an action item. Yes, we are concerned. Yes, we need more research, but is it yet an action item? The bigger question you raise, though, is simply what is the integrity of the immune system? We know, Patrick, that in people who have an immune system that doesn't work well, sometimes because we give them medicines so that it won't work well, that is to protect patients from rejecting their transplanted organs, mm-hmm. we know that that's a unique burden of COVID-19 when the infection occurs. We also know that individual people will develop antibodies either very robustly or maybe not at all, and that, again, is a function of the immune system. I know this is a recommendation you hear from people like me, from cardiologists all the time, but guess what? The best thing you can do for your immune system, you ready for this? Exercise, a healthy diet with fruits and vegetables, a reduction in alcohol, avoiding tobacco, maintaining an appropriate weight. I know that that refrain is something you hear over and over again, but one of the benefits, particularly of exercise and a careful diet, is a better immune system.
All right, I got a couple of texts very quickly here and about a minute left. Tachycardia, does that put atrial tachycardia, does that put people at risk?
Doesn't put people at risk, but it worries us that there's already something that's going on. And when we're trying to understand who has the COVID-19, we would pay attention to tachycardia.
Okay. And extremely low LDL, does that mean that you've got plaque in your arteries if your number is 22? This is from a 22.
So it's the other way around. If you have a low HDL, the high density of the good cholesterol, we worry that there's already plaque in a blood vessel and maybe at an early age. We treat patients to get the lowest possible LDL. In some people, when the LDL is down to 22, it's because we've treated them to that threshold and because they've already had an event. But what you want to be low is your LDL. You want your HDL, the good cholesterol, to be high.
All right. Dr. Clyde Yancey, thank you very much. Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine and Associate Director at Bloom Cardiovascular, also at Northwestern. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.